Hello, everybody. We are Those Guys You Hate.
Welcome to the show that encourages you to be your best self by not being like us.
My brother and I hopelessly search for nuance as we wade through wacky segments and crazy conversations.
If you can withstand the insanity, you might actually learn something.
Tyler, what are you going to be discussing this week?
Ryan, this week, one of the most immoral bag fumbles in the history of sports, and panicking over nothing is such a fad. I say we bring it back. More on that later. What about you, Ryan?
This week, I'm going to ask you a question. What would be your dream method of quitting your job? And can you be addicted to something you hate? You probably already are. So let us diagnose you on this week's Those Guys You Hate.
I often feel like I have the Truman Show syndrome. Do you ever feel like that?
1,000,000%. But explain to people what that is.
Well, I just feel like the entire world that I live in is a TV show and I am the main character.
You feel like everybody's paying attention to you?
Yeah, or there's just cameras around and things are happening to me to see how I will react. I feel like I get gaslit out of nowhere. I was talking to a woman, this was many months ago, and it was like a perfect 72 degrees outside.
Okay, crisp.
It was beautiful.
Okay.
And I said to her, man, you know, I'm not usually one for small talk, but the weather was so perfect, I had to say, man, this weather is perfect. We're almost in sweater weather. She looks me right in the eyes with a guffaw, a chuckle in my face, and says, we're not there yet. She was wearing a fucking sweater.
That's not Truman Show. That's Alfred Hitchcock. She's gaslighting your ass, bro.
I just stared at her.
And then she ripped it off. I personally hate small talk. I want to know your most intimate details. I want into the cracks and crevices. Mm-hmm. Hate talking about the weather. Sometimes here in South Florida, it's so perfect that you need to bring it up just to be grateful for it.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. It's, because we go through 6 months of hell.
It's on its way, by the way.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Yeah, so
how did you recover from that? Did you say...
I fucking walked away.
Oh, I thought you'd slap her open-handedly.
No, I said, okay. Give me that sweater. And there was another time when I went to the grocery store, and there was... I keep thinking that the universe is, like, all centered around this one action to get me to react, where I'm walking through the grocery store, and this little old woman gets in my way when I try to get a tomato. I'm like, all right, screw it. I'll come back. And I go to get the next thing. And there she is in my way to get a piece of fish. And then I go, okay, I'm going back to the tomato. And there she is again.
No.
I swear to God. And I'm like, the universe is putting this person in my way to get me to react in a crazy way for the cameras that I know are there.
Did you, this one you hit. I mean, just in all fairness, three times.
It was ridiculous.
If somebody gets in your way two times at two different places in the grocery store, which I think everybody has been accustomed to, it takes such dedication to not like the grocery store is a trigger for me for some reason.
Yeah, it's road rage as I walk through the store.
So for me, when I was growing up, I very much had that feeling of when I leave, and this probably is very telling. When I leave the house, everybody is looking at me. Like you said, the main character in this, nothing happens until I get here. And I liked it. I really liked that sensation. Now, as an adult, when I obviously don't feel that way, but when I do feel some of those feelings that are in that same realm, it now feels bad to me. Like everybody's looking at me for the wrong reasons.
Ah, gotcha.
That's why I'm trying to get out of that mindset. Also, I just don't think it's healthy.
Yeah, and it's like being stoned, but without the whole stoned part. Where when you get stoned, you walk outside and you're like, everybody can tell I'm stoned.
Is that what it is?
That's what it feels like.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. For once, I know for a fact that there are cameras on me as we speak.
I think this lady knows I'm buying milk. Fuck.
Ryan, how are you this week?
I'm doing really well this week, man. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
A little sicky poo, I understand.
I'm a little sicky poo, but not unlike that first story I told, like a little kid. It does not affect my life at all. I just keep on going and pretend like it's not happening.
Oh, good for you.
You're not like that?
No, are you kidding me? I'm down for the count. I complain to anybody who will listen to me, and I ask them to bring me chicken noodle soup.
That is the smart way to do it, and I don't do that at all.
Okay.
I just barrel through.
Got you. There is some health to that, but there's also some unhealthiness to that as well.
I suffer from not letting my body rest enough. It's a real, it's a character flaw.
Yeah, that is a problem.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. How high on the list would you say that is of your character flaws?
Oh, it doesn't crack the top 50.
Now that's a list I want to read.
Next week's show, we can reveal all of my character issues.
The second part two of the show is just going to be that.
Is that a 7-hour episode?
I am doing well. Thank you for asking. I am still on a good tip.
You're kicking ass, Tyler.
Thank you, buddy.
I'm super proud of you. Okay, for people who don't know, Tyler has seemingly, you know, it's been a short period of time, but in this period of time, you have changed so many parameters of your life. Have you come up against that wall where you're like, why the fuck am I doing this? That's part of every growth period.
Absolutely. And that's an excellent question. And I say we talk about it on the Depression Index.
You are good at this, bro. Shit, I forgot I was listening to a podcast. No one
cares, you don't know what the Depression Index is a machine that we build with our hands, and we crank it up to let you know how down we are this week. You know what? Just because you set me up, normally we throw it the other way. I'm going to go first
You
already primed me. Sure. I'm ready to go.
Sure.
Yes, to answer your question, yes, I have. I can feel it right now where I was talking to a group of friends where we get together every week and we discuss our mental health and it keeps us all in check, kind of.
Beautiful.
And over the last 2 weeks, I have done what they have described as, and I have to agree, a complete 180. I am, the only two times that I've drank over the last 2 weeks were for dinner, had a couple glasses of wine.
Capital Grill, baby! Yeah.
Wow.
We're rich!
That was pretentious. We used three gift cards. It was a stack of gift cards.
And a discount.
That's right.
I don't use coupons very much, but this coupon got us $122.
We got a significant discount.
Sure.
So we're like, we're poor rich. Or rich poor, you know, whatever.
Whatever you prefer.
So just a couple glasses of wine at dinner. I've been meditating twice a day, every day.
Excellent.
I've been exercising almost every day. I've been eating almost entirely super clean. Yes.
When is the second meditation? I know the first one's right when you get up. RPM, rise, pee, meditate. Most amount of plasticity in the brain is right when you get up. So it is the best time to set the tempo for your day.
Nice.
Yeah.
I schedule my second meditation. It's different every single day.
Okay.
I have an alarm that says schedule the meditation because my meditation teacher says that we should not meditate while on a full stomach. So I make sure that it's just enough past lunch and then I knock it out.
Really nice.
Yeah.
I will say that there is something to setting a time that where your body gets into the rhythm of it.
Agreed. But
I'm such a know-it-all.
I eat at different times throughout the day, Mr. Know-it-all.
Sure. If you need a diaphragm massage, I'll get you.
Got you.
My problems
are a little lower.
I'll get you.
away from brother sex.
Again with the brother sex.
I know. That one was me. I'm sorry. That one was my fault. I take responsibility.
Finally, I think he's coming on
for
me.
That one. So it's been really, really great. But I have noticed that I came out of such a place of dire straits. I was in so much emotional, mental pain that as soon as I did the 180, it was from one day to the next that...
Yeah, it was a declaration of sorts.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it was the absence of pain is euphoria. When you're
absence of pain is euphoria. Okay.
When you're being squeezed so tightly by this pain for so long, as I was for months, the moment that that pain is gone, it feels amazing.
Yeah, and forgive me, I want to roll along with you, but you were hurting there, man.
Very much so.
You were hurting and it was painful to watch
as
somebody who loves you.
So as I opened up and as I made these changes, it was the absence of pain. There was no added anything. I wasn't doing drugs, although they're awesome.
Why, what you got?
It was just the absence of that pain, which was euphoria feeling.
It's great.
And now the honeymoon phase I can feel is ending. And instead of these things making me feel euphoric, I know that they're just going to keep me on the plateau of feeling good.
Yep.
And so that is where the responsibility comes in, where I'm trying to keep in mind just because these things, because my brain is led by what is going to make me feel good. Is it the drink? Is it the drugs? Is it what
yes,
is it?
Yes, Tyler. Yes. 1,000 times. Yes.
I don't care what it is. Just give it to me. Inject it directly into my veins.
And once you have it, it's not enough. Now you need more. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And that, then that is the snake eating its own tail.
Exactly. That's my problem so many times in the past with alcohol, where I drink and my brain is like, well, if you feel this good on two drinks, imagine how good you would feel on four drinks.
Bro, you're barely slurring. Yeah. Everything's fine.
If you have one more, you won't even notice that you're slurring.
Yeah.
And so it is, I'm trying to prop myself up and be mindful of the fact that as we move forward, those amazing feelings are going to dissipate. And now comes the time of where I need to buckle down and keep doing these things, even though I am not getting that same hit to my reward center.
Excellence is droning. Peaceful life is boring a lot of times.
Yeah.
And it's just that absence of drama. It's that absence of being mad at yourself and then getting fucked up tonight to make up for it and blah, 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 where it is a big crashing waves on both sides. For me, you know, I don't wake up in the morning and think, am I going to go to the gym today? It is, when are we going to the gym? Sometimes it's boring. Sometimes it's absent of that craziness. And that's kind of, that's what peace is, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah, it's that absence of those incredibly extremes, highs and lows.
Exactly right.
Because when you live there, really the only way to go is to live in the lows. You can't live in the highs. You can't. It's just not possible.
You can get moments of highs, which in the way we're talking about it now, brings the lows, which, yes, in my experience, outpopulate the highs.
Absolutely.
And even with that, you don't want to live in the highs.
No.
You'll be dead.
Yeah.
I tried it. I died.
You look great.
Thank you. You know, it's so easy to look young when you don't have to deal with flesh.
True. For a cadaver, you look amazing.
Thank you. Wait. Yeah, fuck it.
Yeah,
I'll
why
you.
Not?
Well, Tyler, genuinely, we celebrate you. It is awesome to see you really put this effort in and to be rational about it, not expect to live in the highest moments. You know
Thank
what
you.
I mean? So I'm very proud of you.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much. So this week, I am going to go ahead and say that I...
Don't you do it.
...am at...
Don't you fucking do it.
...a three, Ryan.
You're so lucky.
One, two, three. What'd you think I was going to say, a one?
I don't know, but I know I'm at a two.
Ryan, how are you this week?
None of your business.
Okay.
Gay it up. Mm-hmm. This week, I am... Well, that was probably pretty gross to do. Yeah, sorry about that. I'm a little sicky. This week, I am at the end of this yoga teacher training. It's going to be done here in like a couple of weeks, not even, like less than that.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that I want to talk about very quickly is sacrifice. I sacrifice my time. I sacrifice my relationships. I sacrifice my free time to do what it is that I'm doing. And I couldn't have been more excited about it. And you never know what it is that you're sacrificing until you're in the middle of it. No matter how much you think about it, sometimes it can be very tough. And I'm proud of myself for what I'm doing, the intention that I brought to it, the attention that I brought to it. And I'm really trying to praise myself for giving up my most valuable resource, which is Ryan time.
Yeah, I was just about to say the fact that your time, and time is the most valuable resource on earth. It's the only resource we can never replace or get back.
I'm working on that, by the way.
Yeah, you let us know.
Mailing it to myself.
And for you to sacrifice that for your betterness, for your
Thank you.
For the greater good, is literally by definition sacrifice.
That's
so
really,
that's awesome.
Thank you for saying that. And
sacrifice sucks.
Somebody, oh, fuck,
it's terrible.
I don't mind when somebody else is doing it. You know what I mean? They say it's better to give than to receive. Somebody's got it to receive for other people to give.
Yeah, it's true.
And the thing is, to do something like this that balances you out, what's great about that is regulating yourself brings regulation everywhere else. Mm-hmm. For you to get yourself together helps the greater good. For you to come from a more thought out, slower place will hopefully benefit the world moving outwards.
Agreed.
What do you think about that?
I fully agree. I mean, I know it's kind of semi-douchey to quote really famous people, but the statement is absolutely true. When Gandhi said, if you want to change the world or be the change you want to see in the world, we can't dictate and control other people's actions, only our own.
I don't mean to do this on air.
Yeah,
I don't think that was Gandhi.
Wasn't that Gandhi?
I don't think that was Gandhi.
Are you sure?
I think
be the
that
change
was,
that you want to see the world?
No, that doesn't sound right to me.
Are you sure?
I think that was, and we'll have, we can review. I think that was Alec Baldwin.
Oh, fuck off! I was like, I'm pretty sure that's right!
Gandhi, a super calloused, fragile mystic cursed by halitosis.
I hope you're a nine this week.
Most people don't know that.
Tyler, I hope you're a nine.
I am hanging by a thread. Yeah. I'm just running around insulting spiritual leaders.
10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10.
So... I guess that's it. I have more here. I was going to dig into some other stuff, but I won't go too long. Sacrifice is hard. It is part of life. And I think if you're doing it correctly, when you look back at the end, can be some of the most beautiful times of your life. I think very often when we get to, I don't even want to say the end of our lives, but a place of maturity, you can look back at the times that you struggled the most and remember them fondly as a time that you changed the most.
Of course, the greatest and most change comes during the most tumultuous times in our life. Because we're forced to change.
That's 100% true. And you never learn anything about yourself when you're comfortable.
Exactly.
And I am very uncomfortable. So my third eye is sprouting open in all different places. So Tyler, this week...
I don't think that's your eye.
I am at... I'm not doing brother sex jokes with you in Depression
good,
Index,
good,
Tyler.
Good.
I am at a 4, baby. Been a little sick and giving up on my time and shit. And I just want to play Uncharted 2, and you got me bending over like an asshole.
It's been many weeks, but Tyler is back on top, baby.
Tyler, it is not a competition.
Wow, congratulations.
But we're happy for you, you piece
of shit. The champion is back, baby.
We missed you. Great job, Tyler.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Ryan, before we go to break, let's jump right into a happy death day.
Is it OJ Simpson again? Are you celebrating OJ?
You got to do OJ twice.
Sure. We did the O last week. This week we do the J.
Yes, happy death day, Ryan. Tell them what happy death day is.
Somebody has passed away, which is normally a source of sorrow and pain, but Tyler and I believe in celebrating and raising up somebody's deeds. Sometimes it's the Unabomber, sometimes it's O.J. Simpson. You never know what you're going to get that Tyler is going to praise.
All right, two times it was a controversial figure.
What's controversial about Ted Kaczynski?
And for 2 weeks in a row, for the first time ever, we have another controversial figure that has died, Ryan.
These are getting dark.
I know they are.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it is also the theme of our show. Bennett Braun. Do you know the name Bennett Braun, Ryan?
B-R-A-W-N?
B-R-A-U-N.
Okay. Bennett Braun, no. Love the alliteration, though.
Okay. All right. Well, he is a Chicago psychiatrist who came to fame in the 80s and 90s. Can you guess why?
80s and 90s, maybe multiple personality disorder?
Ooh, that is actually almost right on the money, but his legacy.
Big time for multiple personality disorder.
Oh, yeah. But also, what else was it a big time for? He practically, single-handedly created the satanic panic that swept the country, Ryan.
Oh, 100%. Mm-hmm. These things, and that's why I guess because of that time period that you listed, these things, psychologists, and I won't step on your hee-haw, but they saw an ability to gain notoriety by, now we know, making up these psychological things that got some people in some pretty hot water.
For sure. And don't get me wrong, and don't get us wrong, at the time known as multiple personality disorder, which is now known as dissociative identity disorder,
I got that.
Is a real thing. It is something that people out there in the world truly suffer with, but they used it, as you alluded to such an extreme degree and overprescribed medication to an extreme degree.
It's so rare. And at that time, it was like a gluten allergy. All of a sudden, everybody's got it. You had multiple personalities a couple of years ago and you weren't saying shit. Now, all of a sudden, you can't eat bread. Like, get out of here.
For sure. Yeah. And now you're fixed and I'm stuck with the shitty ass personality.
Could we go back to the other guy? No, it was a crazy time. And you and I have a job that we never talk about where we're around kids all the time.
Yeah.
That is at the root of why I will never go into a bathroom in a school. That's satanic panic. There were kids accusing adults
of
crazy shit that they never did.
Well, and now they have separate bathrooms for the adults in schools now. You're not supposed to go into the kids' bathrooms.
Is that true?
That is absolutely 100%
true. I got to make some phone calls.
Well, he was an expert in two at the time, seen as controversial areas of psychiatry, as we just said, multiple personality disorder and repressed memories. Now, he claimed that he could help patients uncover memories of childhood trauma, and at the peak of his fame, he publicized what was truly incredible findings, that in dozens of cases, his patients discovered memories of being tortured by satanic cults and in some cases of having participated in the torture themselves. But the only problem was it was horseshit.
Yeah.
It was fabricated. These people were forced, made to believe that these memories were true.
By somebody who was in a position of power that they trusted implicitly.
As he was highly medicating them.
Yeah. It makes it easier to get them to lie.
Yes. Or believe your lies.
Yeah. Now, and the problem with therapy is, and forgive me, is that all that stuff is so muddled. It's so hard to, I mean, have you dealt with, obviously not something of this extreme, but a recovered memory where you're like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I've spoken about it a couple of times on the show. I had memories, not necessarily that I had forgotten totally, but that I had completely normalized, where my therapist, who I still see to this day, helped me realize, Tyler, you were sexually abused when you were a kid.
For sure.
And when it finally peaked, I was like, what the fuck?
Liar!
Yeah. So it was, yes. And repressed memories are also a totally for real thing.
For sure. Where your body just can't handle it, so it shoves it in a box to keep you alive.
Yep. That's exactly right. Now, the 1980s saw a spike in people claiming to have been abused by devil worshipers. Even elements of pop culture were dragged in, like rock music, and Dungeons and Dragons. My beloved Dungeons and Dragons, no!
Against God.
Yeah, that's why we do it.
Sure. And in the video game Doom.
Yeah, exactly, because it was demons and all that stuff.
Cause Columbine.
I thought that the satanic panic started because of these things, and I come to realize that they were a casualty of the source of these problems, which were these psychiatrists who were fanning the flames of satanic panic.
And I think that they saw their ladder to success through this idea of, oh shit, this is big news. Yeah. People are really interested in this. Give me some more kids, and I'll, where on the doll did he touch you?
And the ego grows with it, you know, and it's hard to get past it. And it's so hard for me to imagine, even though it's completely true, these psychiatrists, these people are supposed to be, you know, supposed to be introspective and aware, where they get caught up in their own ego the same way the rest of us do.
I think that the role of being a teacher or somebody in power comes with such problems and such inherent risks of buying into your own bullshit.
Yeah.
It takes a very strong person. That's, I think what you're saying is at the heart of childhood celebrities and their, you know, soon to be meltdown. Yeah.
All yes men.
All yes men. And you don't have anybody keeping you in check.
Yeah. Well, he convinced one woman, this is how fucked up this was. He convinced one woman to have an abortion because he convinced her that she was the victim of ritualistic incest.
Wow.
And another woman, Ms. Burgess, while heavily medicated, had come to believe her doctors that she recalled torches, live burials, and eating the body parts of up to 2,000 people a year.
That's guaranteed kuru right there.
Sure.
Well, and I remember where they were bringing these kids in, and it got to a point where these kids were saying, like, so they took us and they flushed us down the toilet, and it got to a point that was so extreme that people were just like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
We might be in serious trouble. While a family had been in jail for a year because they had all been accused of heinous crimes.
Yeah. He separated this woman, Miss Burgess, from her children for 3 years in the same facility, and they only saw each other a handful of times over years.
See, I would say without all of the information, this is a fucked up person.
Yes.
Like this, what you're saying is true about any sort of a teacher or a power figure, you could go down this path. This seems like somebody with bad intentions.
Seemingly.
Yeah.
See, almost like a Jonestown type situation where he got started for the right reasons and then where he wound up was evil incarnate.
Yeah.
You know? So in the early 90s, and we'll wrap this up, in the early 90s, the FBI obviously had a countrywide investigation into this. And if you have somebody claiming that they have eaten the body parts of 2,000 people a year, you're going to leave some evidence. Either 2,000 people a year have disappeared from a very localized area, or you have 2,000 people in 1 year walking around with chunks bitten out of them.
Sure, I've seen The Walking Dead. Yeah, and that's the problem, is that these things build up steam so fast that they get to a point of, that's not possible.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But pop culture ran with it. Even your beloved Dateline.
You shut your mouth, Tyler.
Ran multiple episodes, yeah. Even in the mid-90s after it was discovered that it was bullshit.
We could all be bamboozled, Tyler. We could all be, Keith Morrison didn't do shit.
Dateline in the 90s, be better. Yeah, and of course, he lost his license.
You want it, you got it.
The way Kenny G plays a saxophone, you play that board like a magician.
Incredible. I was just waiting for you to say Dateline in the 90s.
So even the National Center for Child Abuse and Neglect, they surveyed over 12,000 accusations of satanic ritual abuse and found that not a single one held up to scrutiny. So to finish this story, obviously, what's his face? So I don't even, Dr. Braun lost his license. He wasn't even allowed to practice
this
shit anymore. So,
and how therapists can lead you, if you have bad intentions, you could lead somebody into, with my memory, you could lead me into believing something happened. You could create whatever you want and talk me into it.
Yeah.
These people hold such power that it has to be respected, like a doctor, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I'm so scared of getting mad at people after the fact, because in my head, I'm like, did that actually happen the way I'm thinking it happened? I'm not entirely sure.
That sounds very healthy, Tyler.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what else is healthy? A fucking break. Hey, everyone. If you're anything like us, you struggle with depression, anxiety, isolation, or any number of things that hold you back in life.
Or do you procrastinate a little too much? Maybe you've had trouble with self-control or even just going through a tough time. Regardless of whatever it is you're going through, therapy can help.
For me, Ryan, it's completely changed the way I deal with my problems. Even the relationship with my own thoughts have improved dramatically.
And that's why we're excited to tell you about today's sponsor, BetterHelp.
BetterHelp's mission is to make therapy more affordable and more accessible. And this is so important to us because finding a therapist can be really hard, especially when you're limited to the options in your area.
BetterHelp is a platform that makes finding a therapist easier because it's online, it's remote, and by filling out a few questions, BetterHelp can match you up to a professional therapist in as little as a few days.
It's easy to sign up and get matched with a therapist. Go to betterhelp.com/those guys or click on the link in the show's description. Clicking on that link not only supports us, but supports you.
And we want to support you too by giving you 10% off your first month of BetterHelp to connect with a therapist and see if it helps you.
Finding the right therapist is so important, someone that you really connect with, and BetterHelp has made that easier than ever. Switching therapists until you find the right one without having to worry about insurance or any additional fees.
You know, Tyler, when I first had my son, I felt so many emotions that I had never experienced in my life. Therapy really helped me figure out what was going on.
Well, that is betterhelp.com/those guys. Help the show by supporting the people that help us.
Those guys.
Drown to death.
You hate.
And a box of tequila.
Those guys you hate.
And we're back, Ryan. Hello. Welcome back from the quickest break we've ever taken.
They're all the same now.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's December 31st, 1999. People have their party hats on, their champagne chilled, and their survival bunkers stocked. Are we ready for Y2K? Everybody panic!
This is not a drill.
The conspiracy We're talking a technological apocalypse,
Ryan. I remember all this.
The internet crashing, society as we know it crumbling down around us. And I will read to you a paragraph from an article written by Vanity Fair in 1999 that lays out the prospect.
Okay, hit me.
It is an instant past midnight, January 1st, 2000. The power in some cities isn't working. Bank vaults and prison gates have swung open. Hospitals have shut down. So many countries degenerating into riots and revolution. No one will know the extent of its consequences until after they occur. The one sure thing is that the wondrous machines that govern and ease our lives won't know what to do. Now, as you said, you remember this, Ryan. What do you remember of that time? Do you remember the feeling?
Well, Y2K was a phenomenon where people thought that when the calendars on all of our computerized devices turned from 99 to 00, mm-hmm. what was the thought there that it would, why would it reset the system? What was the purpose?
Here's the thing, and that's, and you nailed it right on the mark. Some believe that it was a conspiracy theory, but the problem was that this was a true issue, that when computers were first starting being coded and being created to save room, because that's how little memory on computers back then there were, to save room, instead of all four digits on a year, they only used the last two.
Sure, which is pretty standard.
Yeah.
Yep.
However, the people were worried, and rightfully so, that when the computers flipped over from 99 to 00, the computers would think it's going back to 1900.
But why would that affect the way that the machines work, in theory?
I will give you an example, the way that it would cause chaos. Millions of people across the world have taken out loans from a bank, and you are charged interest on those loans on a yearly basis. The moment that it goes from 99 to 00, the computer might think that you should be charged 100 years of interest.
That could be an issue.
And now imagine that happening worldwide. It would have thrown our finances into chaos.
And that is a small little piece of a giant puzzle.
Just one.
Yeah.
And so, you know, just, and everything at that time was beginning to be run on some, in some way, by computers.
And that's what's as shocking to me as anything, is how dependent we were on computers 25 years ago. Mm-hmm. That is shocking. Because I think of that time as being such a fledgling time for computers and data and society in those terms.
When you compare it to today, it was.
Yeah.
But we were still so reliant on it.
Or even compare it to the 80s, a decade before that, when I grew up, you know, the remote control had three buttons on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was just like a pet you kept in the corner. It wasn't a huge chunk of our society.
You keep your pet in the corner?
Sure.
Nobody keeps pet in the corner.
Yeah, we do.
Okay, got mm-hmm. you.
That's
what was so substantial about the 90s tech boom, because in that mid-90s with Yahoo and Google and all these companies, they exploded.
We finally got it all figured out.
Yeah, kind of. And some believed, as I said, that it was a government conspiracy. Some thought it was apocalyptic. It was a prophecy.
Yep, as is, I remember that.
As is usually the case, religious nut jobs. I mean, leaders.
You had it right.
Entered the fray. One of them being Jerry Falwell Sr.,
sure.
The father of Jerry, I love to watch my wife get fucked by the pool boy Falwell Jr.
No king shaming here.
And, well, I'm just saying, it's Norwegian. It's a very long middle name.
You can watch your wife get fucked by anybody. That's fine.
He told the people that that they should go out and stock up on food and guns, because that is obviously in line with Jesus' teachings.
It's God's way.
That's right.
Yeah, I believe Jesus was packing.
Sure. Yeah, but the truth is it really would have caused problems. However, we knew about it. And so behind the scenes, while everybody was getting worked up into a frenzy, people around the world, tech people around the world, were working on this problem.
Got on top of it.
Yeah. And
so it did affect us.
No, it did not. The only reason why it didn't is because they got ahead of it. Hmm. They worked on this. It would have genuinely affected us. I don't know about apocalyptic, mm-hmm. but it would have caused us some significant problems sure. moving forward. Yeah, so because of these people that were working behind the scenes, it was corrected. And worldwide, it cost in up to $300 $1 billion at the time to correct this problem. Today, that's over $500 billion.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So it really was an issue. It wasn't an old wives' tale. It actually had an effect. We just happened to get on top of it early.
Correct. And people used it to their advantage to put people, to make them more afraid.
No.
As they are wont to do.
No. Yes. Stop it. They would never take a disaster and use it to gouge people for money and privilege and just do what I say or else.
That doesn't sound like the human race.
No.
Because
when a hurricane's coming, Publix definitely will not charge you $17 for a gallon of water.
And Home Depot definitely will not sell you all those 2x4s that you don't need.
And it's weird that they're sponsoring the local news, isn't it?
Great.
Somebody should look into that.
That would be shameful behavior, Ryan.
Excellent. I remember Y2K and the Mayan calendar.
Oh, yeah, the Mayan calendar was fun.
Sure.
I remember texting my friends at the time, like, you dead yet?
Sanka, you dead, man?
Well, because that would be shameful, but they would never do that. I need you to lead me into something that would be even more shameful with a shameful image.
All right. I don't know why I'm constantly doing this to myself.
Yeah.
All right, I got a two for today.
Ooh.
First one's pretty self-evident, and I think you've probably been thinking this for a long time. I'm just going to toss it out there. Shameful admissions.
Okay.
The name says what it is. Somebody needs to take my license away. I should not be driving. I'm a terrible driver, and I'm now at the point where I'm just straight up, I don't see cars. Like, I'm going to make a turn, and there's a car like 2 feet away from me honking at me, and I'm like, my bad.
Yeah.
I am a terrible driver, and I should not be allowed the privilege to drive.
Well, I like you putting yourself out there like that, and I would normally agree with you, but I think there's like an unspoken rule where we don't kick the shameful admitter down while we're here.
So I should get two licenses. And is that what you're saying?
Double the licenses.
I should drive a semi.
And it certainly does not help that we live in Miami, which is one of the worst cities for traffic
in,
I believe, the world.
But again, I'm saying that even not in traffic, I'm like not seeing cars.
You're not contributing to it whatsoever.
It happened to me twice today. It was very bad. But here's my real shameful admission.
All right.
I think that I am addicted. Now I'm in the middle of this yoga teacher training. It has really helped me take inventory of my life and look at some of these situations in my life and really bring them to the light and be like, okay, you commit this behavior all the time. Why are you doing this? Mm-hmm. What's going on here? Normally we just do it and we don't think about it. It's the royal we. I think that I am addicted to the feeling of being late.
Hmm.
I think that I am addicted to whatever chemicals, to whatever is surging through my body as I run to my car and jump in and fly through traffic, not well, because what I've noticed that is happening is I'll look at my watch and I'll be like, okay, I got to leave in 3 minutes if I want to be there on time.
Hmm.
Which then triggers a mousetrap-like game in my brain of like, dude, you're good. Like, at the time that you should be leaving, my brain starts telling me, like, you're fine, bro. You'll make it. Everything is good. When I know from every experience that I've ever had, that is not true.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to be late. Every time I rationalize myself that it's not true, and then all of a sudden, it gets to the point where I am now late, and those panic chemicals start getting pumped into my body and I start running in my car and doing all those things. And it is something that I very much want to change.
Yeah.
It is not a healthy behavior.
Well, alarms definitely help with that. I would challenge the idea of being addicted to that feeling because being addicted to panic is kind of a strange one for me, although possible. I think it's very much like me with responsibilities, which I'm trying to change, which is it's not an addiction to putting them off. It is just whatever is inside of us procrastinating, and then you don't act until the anxiety builds up so much that you're forced to act.
Well, and now we're splitting hairs here, but you and I have discussed many times people who stay in a bad relationship because they're just so accustomed to how that feels. I think with me, I'm just so accustomed. I don't know how to delineate it. I don't know whether it's addiction or just laziness, or I just want to get those last 3 minutes at the gym.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever the deal is, whether it's making me move or in some weird way I'm enjoying it, I am constantly living in that panic of making it to wherever I'm going in a way that could potentially be dangerous. And that needs to be brought to the light And that is something that I want to change. And that starts by acknowledging it.
Gotcha. Well, that's awesome, man. That's
shameful beautiful. Admission.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hey, it's, I think you're playing the game wrong. And I mean that as a compliment because.
And also I pooped my pants one time.
All right. Now you're playing it right. That's more of like wanting to be better, you know?
Yeah, but it's, you know? It is, if you say to, I mean, isn't all of this stuff thinly veiled self-help talk?
Sure, but I mean, I think of a shameful admission and nobody in particular, it's like using a scented lotion to masturbate and you melt your dick off.
Do not do that. Do not do that. I am begging you. Don't use the shampoo. Use the conditioner. We're talking about fundamentals here, guys.
The conditioner is way
better.
Do
I got to explain everything to you? This is embarrassing.
And we've somehow meandered into a PSA for your ASS.
PSA for your DIK.
Ah, Ryan, let's get away from that DIK, please. It's time for an oof, Ryan.
All right. Oof, what is an oof?
Oof. Oof is when somebody, in this case, somebody has behaved in a truly shameful manner and just something that just makes you cringe, something you're embarrassed on their behalf for, and you go, oof.
Was it that double murder with OJ?
No. That was a triple oof.
Allegedly.
Ooh. Oh, stop it. Stop that right now. Ryan, I am going to give you the name, and you tell me if you know the story that I am referring to.
Hit me.
Jonte Porter.
Oh, I think that I know this basketball player.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes, Jonte Porter. He is a former Toronto Raptor.
Oh, I did not know. Yes. I don't know about how this story ends.
Ah, yeah. So for anybody who may not know, although it might be a little obvious, that if you are a professional athlete, or honestly, an athlete of any kind where you're making money, you are not allowed to gamble on sports. I believe it's just sports entirely.
I think it's different from league to league, but the tentative thread that sports holds is the idea that this game is on the up and up.
Yeah.
There's nothing going on behind it because if it turns into professional wrestling, do people bet on professional wrestling?
Oh, that's a tough one because it is
question.
It is choreographed, so it's hard to say.
It's choreographed, but I also...
And the outcome is known already.
Man, that's a weekend review.
Yeah. I'm sure there's some seedy-ass bookie out there in a back alley somewhere.
I take it.
Taking odds.
Sure.
So this person who was a former basketball player, he was gambling on his own team, which is a huge no-no. Like, if you're a basketball player, and this is just my own opinion, if you're a basketball player and you're betting on baseball or football, I don't see the problem with that whatsoever. To bet on your own sport, I do see the conflict of interest, of course.
100%. You need to keep the integrity of the game. I mean, it's like I said, it's all they have.
Yeah, exactly.
If I think that it's rigged, I don't want to watch this.
Sure, yeah. Sure. Or gamble on it, because somebody already knows the outcome.
I don't want to gamble on anything.
That's true. But I'm just saying, as a gambler. So Pete Rose, a very famous baseball player, he was
Charlie Hustle.
Kicked out of thank you.
Yeah.
Kicked out of baseball because he was betting on his own team. He was betting for his team to win. Jonte Porter was betting against his team.
He was betting against his own team.
He was betting his team was going to lose.
I don't like that.
No.
I don't. You know what? I'm going to get out on a limb here. I don't like that.
That is deeply immoral.
Yeah.
And how
do you think that you're not going to get caught?
Exactly. But not only that, he was betting and I don't really know that much about betting, but not only was he betting on his team to lose, they also give specific bets on individual players. Will they hit over under, you know, three threes?
I think those are called prop bets.
Prop bets or parlays, whatever the term is.
You might be right. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever the term is. He would go and bet on himself on the under. And then it was found in multiple games in which he did, he took himself out of the game with a fake injury. He has
one that couldn't be proven whether it was true or not.
No.
It's not like he said my MCL snapped.
Exactly. One of them, it was like his eye. His eye was hurting.
He had an ongoing eye issue, yeah.
Jonte Porter has since been banned for life from the NBA. His total net earnings, because I believe it was DraftKings that he was going through, and they could tell because he was giving specific medical information to other bettors, and people were going, and they tracked this shit, and the DraftKings was going in and going, that's weird. We have 30 times the amount of normal bet on Jonte Porter parlays.
Jonte Porter, who is I don't want to insult him, but he is not.
He's a bench player.
He's not a star by any stretch of the imagination. On one day, had the most bets on him on DraftKings,
yep.
which is, I don't know if you know this or not, pornography, gambling, pretty big businesses here. The vices, they've been cranked up to the top, no pun intended.
Absolutely.
He was the biggest bet on DraftKings in a day, which sounds like nothing, I'm sure, but take it from me, that is a huge deal and would probably call some attention to you.
Hey, I was going
to
say, in a big red flag.
A giant red flag.
I bet you the guy looking at the screen was like, who the fuck is Jonte Porter?
Can we refresh this? I'm getting something weird here.
One of the bettors, a separate bettor, knowing the information and knew what was going to happen, put $80,000 on a specific bet, and had he won, which technically he did, he would have won $1.1 million. But because DraftKings caught on to this, they didn't fucking give that guy his money.
Did they take his $80,000?
I don't know about that one. That's a tough one. I'm not really sure.
I would have legal action all over that shit.
Yeah, definitely. So, and his total earnings for betting? $22,000. That's how much he earned just from his bets.
But and I'm not looking at any information here. I believe that that is the average NBA player's salary, isn't it? $22,000 a year?
I was like, maybe for like half a
you
game.
Fool.
What are you talking about?
And you know what? I don't want to kick a man while he's down, but that's dumb, dog. Yeah. You fool.
No, that was a dumb move.
And it's not, and we don't want to like suggest people be better at ripping off the system, but be better at ripping off the system, yeah. You fool.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So the guy who put $80,000 down, go put $40,000 down on another parlay, lose it, and then put that $80,000 down and win the $1.1.
Spread it out a little bit, my boy.
Just a little
like
bit.
Like when you go to jail. Spread it out.
So boy, oh boy.
Sorry
well,
about that.
So Jonte Porter, Ryan hates it. I know you're going to hate it. I got to give it to you, brother. Yeah.
I feel like when you slow that down, it becomes a different thing. I don't like it.
It's all bad.
I don't like it.
Let's go to break.